Welcome back, party people. We are here for another episode of Legally Dirty Blonde. And today we are going to talk about a lot of things. But originally, I was going to do an entire episode recap on the week one Johnny Depp v. Heard situation. But it was just getting too long, so I'm cutting it into separate episodes because I think it's easier to listen that way. So today we're going to focus on the first day of the trial, which was opening statements from both sides. So we'll hear about the theory of the case from Johnny's attorneys, and then we'll hear the theory of the case from Amber's attorneys. And then we're also going to get into the testimony of the first witness, which was Johnny Depp's older sister. And let's get right into it. Okay, so like I said last episode, on Monday it was jury selection. It took one day. They have 8 men and 3 women, and technically there's really only 7 jurors that are going to decide this, but 4 of them are alternates. We don't know which ones will be alternates and which ones won't. And we don't know who the jury is, and that's obviously how they always do this, because they don't want people talking to the jury and trying to convince them to change their mind, or, you know, all that nonsense. So technically day one of the trial was Tuesday. And on Tuesday, we started with opening statements. Now, opening statements are not opening arguments. A lot of people say that. That's closing arguments. So opening statements actually don't allow for arguments. They are basically an opportunity for the attorneys to tell their story. They say, this is what we claim, this is how we're going to prove it. And they can point to their witnesses and what evidence they're going to use to prove their story. So, and generally is done so without interruptions. So because Johnny Depp is the plaintiff here, his attorneys went first. And I have to say, their opening was a lot faster than defense opening. They were quick and very concise. Mr. Chu is the lead attorney here. He started the opening statement, and he basically pointed out, you know, what were the statements that they are claiming are defamatory. He went through them with the jury. He did more of the technical aspects, or the legal aspects, I should say, of the argument. Then another attorney from Johnny's side came up, and that was Ms. Vasquez. And she kind of spoke more about, you know, why Amber Heard is a liar. And, you know, I think that's definitely a strategic move, because it definitely looks worse when some old dude is calling, you know, a woman who is claiming she is an abuse victim a liar. So let's have a woman do it, right? Optics are important in the courtroom, guys. But yeah, so like I said, Mr. Chu pointed out the 3 statements from the op-ed that they're claiming, and basically the two of them went through the evidence. They said, look, we're going to show you testimony from police officers, body cam from police officers, medical records, testimony from our other witnesses that show Amber Heard never had any injuries. And in fact, they pointed out the only recorded injury in their relationship is Johnny Depp's finger being cut off. So they also, this is super important, and this was brought up in my first episode when I discussed the motion practice and, you know, the photos that Amber Heard has of her injuries. So basically what this female attorney said was that they, meaning the defense, is not going to be able to prove that these photos are authentic. She said, all of them are proven to be not the original photos, and all of them were proven to be stored in an editing app. And that really stuck out to me, and I think that's crucial, and that's really going to play a huge role in whether or not Amber Heard is going to be able to prove to this jury that she really was a victim of domestic violence. You know, if you have edited photos and these are the only proof that you have, I see a pretty large problem with that. But, you know, that also comes up in defense's opening, so we'll get there. But basically what Johnny's lawyers did was they did a very concise and much quicker opening statement than the defense did. They started with the technical aspects of defamation, pointing to the 3 statements in the op-ed that they are claiming are defamatory. His male attorney, Mr. Chu, pointed out that words matter, especially in a situation like this that completely destroyed Johnny Depp's career. They pointed to damages. He lost Pirates. You know, Pirates is huge. He lost Pirates. He lost Fantastic Beasts. And, you know, damages are a part of proving defamation. So let's move on to defense's opening. You know, it's actually not very common to have two different attorneys do the opening statements, and both sides did it this time, and I found that to be interesting. I don't know if that was strategic as well, but basically the defense started their opening statement with their male attorney. He also dove into the technical aspects of, you know, the legal aspects of things first. His whole argument, well, I shouldn't say argument, but his whole point was freedom of speech and how this speech should be protected under the First Amendment. Now, we're not going to get into all of this right now, but that was his theme throughout this entire opening statement, for his part at least. Freedom of speech and the First Amendment, and how, you know, she shouldn't be held responsible, basically, for her statements. Now, the reason that he's saying that is because of that anti-SLAPP law I talked about. Normally, a defamatory statement isn't covered by the First Amendment. That's one of the very limited exceptions. But once he finished with the First Amendment part, they moved on to the female attorney. And she, I'm not going to lie, I initially thought she was doing well. And as you guys know, that bothered me because I'm kind of Team Johnny. I'm not kind of Team Johnny. Who am I kidding? I'm totally Team Johnny. You know, I was like, oh shit, okay. Because she came out, you know, she started with the salaciousness right off the bat. She's pointing out, she was saying a lot of shit that I hadn't even heard before. So, you know, she just said, she came out strong, but she ultimately ended up rambling on for a really, really, really long time. And, it, you know, I hear this all the time. We say this, if you feel bored watching this, imagine how the jury feels. They don't even have their cell phones to look at like we can. They can't change the channel like we can. So, you know, if you're feeling bored, they're probably feeling bored. You know, I have to say, she said a lot of things, like I said, that I had never even heard before. She's saying that they're now claiming that Johnny Depp sexually assaulted and raped Amber Heard. You know, that's horrible. That's disgusting. Again, I really don't believe that. They also threw in this claim now that he penetrated her with a liquor bottle. And to me, I don't know how they're going to prove that, considering there's no medical records, no nothing, no photos of that, nothing. That's solely going to be based on her testimony. But they brought that up. They also, lots of salacious stuff about his drug use, too, and how his drug use fueled this violent behavior. It was salacious. It was definitely, you know, entertaining, at least in the beginning, to listen to, especially, you know, if you didn't pick sides on this argument, you might have been very riveted. This might have been very riveting to you to listen to, especially for the first 20 minutes. She started to lose her momentum after, like, I don't know, the first 30 minutes, honestly. Like, it just got boring and it just got rambling and it just sounded like this old lady was yelling at you. But like I said, if you should go check it out yourself, see how you feel. But anyway, let's move on. This is interesting. It's not very often that you see attorneys make objections during opening statements. It's just very risky. It's risky to do that because it can make it, you know, if the judge disagrees with you, the side speaking, the side that is saying what they're saying and you're objecting to it, if you lose when you go up for that sidebar, that the side speaking gets to reiterate their point again. So it just puts into the jury's mind, like, oh, they objected to that and the judge is letting them go. So interestingly enough, yet again, both sides objected. During Johnny Depp's side's opening, Mr. Chu was stating that, you know, in the 5 decades of Mr. Depp's life, he has never been accused, like never, there's never even been a question of whether he has been violent or raised a hand to a woman. Nothing close to that. There's just been nothing. Nobody has ever said that. Nobody's ever even said, oh, yeah, that happened to me since then. And objection from the defense. Now they go up, sidebar. You know, we don't hear any of that. But when they come back, what do we hear? As I was saying, Johnny Depp has never been accused, or no one has claimed over the past 5 decades of his life, that he has ever been violent towards a woman or assaulted anybody. So he won. And he got to say his point. And let me tell you, he said it many, many times. So the next objection came from Johnny Depp's team, and he objected to Amber's female attorney bringing up the case in the UK against The Sun. It was a quick objection. People might not have even heard them bring up The Sun. Now they go up, they do sidebar. they come back. Amber Heard's attorney has moved on to a totally different subject. They lost again. So, you know, if the jury's paying attention and they see that the judge ruled in favor of Johnny Depp's team both times on these objections, you know, off the bat, that's not a great look. But again, not every person is picking apart legal details like we are here, but just something to keep in mind. So once they finished closings, they start calling the witnesses. So first, just to be clear, Johnny gets to call his witnesses first since he's the plaintiff here in a civil case. And also, it's important to point out, just in case people don't know, in a criminal case, we all know, what do you have to prove? Beyond a reasonable doubt. Or I should say, what does the prosecution have to prove? Beyond a reasonable doubt. In a civil case, it's by a preponderance of the evidence. And that's actually a much lower standard. So just keep that in mind, too. So the first witness Johnny Depp's team called was his sister, Christine Dambrowski. And, you know, listen, I mean, if you have a close relationship with your sibling, if you have a sibling or anybody in your family for that matter, you're going to assume that they're going to testify in your favor, right? So I think everybody, you know, bears that in mind or keeps that in mind when somebody's family member is testifying in a situation like this. But basically, you know, she testified to Johnny Depp's past and his character. She discussed the abusive home life that they had. Their mother was extremely abusive. And she pointed out that, you know, Johnny Depp still loved her. When she fell ill and needed care, constant care, he bought her a home in Palm Springs to help her with her asthma because they're from Kentucky. He brought her there, bought her a beautiful home. Then he bought her a beautiful home in Los Angeles across the street from him when she was really in need of help. You know, they were very close and they seemed to be a relatively, you know, I would actually go as far to say as a very tight-knit family, especially him and his sister. So I think this was a point by Johnny's team, or they were trying to make the point that, listen, this mother of his was so abusive to him, and yet he never stopped loving her. He still loved her. So, you know, I think they're trying to relate that to what was going on with Amber here. And I do think it's also important to point out that his reaction to abuse as a child was to leave and to hide in the other room. And that is the same as what we're going to see going on in some of these audio tapes, or if you already listened to them from the other episode, that was going on in their relationship here with Amber Heard. He was always trying to leave when things got abusive and violent. So basically, you know, her testimony on direct was basically to show, listen, there is no way that he could be this violent. This is not in his nature. He has never acted like this in his past. I'm his sister. I can tell you this. They were sort of having her testify as like Johnny Depp by proxy, if you will. And, you know, there were a lot of hearsay objections from defense counsel, and it was warranted on many occasions. You know, a hearsay statement is, I'm sure you guys know this, but just if you don't, it's an out-of-court statement that is used to prove the truth of the matter asserted. So there are certain things, like if you say, well, I got my job because, like, basically, like, let's say we're talking about a domestic violence case, and I'm on the stand, I'm like, well, I got this job because, you know, this friend of mine told me this. Like, that's not going to be a hearsay objection because it's not proving the truth of the matter asserted. But when it's proving whether or not Johnny Depp's a abuser, an out-of-court statement that happened between him and his sister, that's not going to be allowed in. So anyway, moving on. They did point out on direct that she is employed by her brother, by his production company. So, you know, she has a salary from her brother and she does make money off of him. So, you know, that you always want to bring out these types of bias issues on direct, even though they will be pointed out again on cross. But it always looks worse if it's brought up on cross and it looked like you tried to hide it. So they did bring that up. And, you know, I will say she did kind of, it was a little boring, her testimony. But, you know, she was asked about how he was damaged. And she, I don't know, like, if she just fucked up, but she didn't articulate the fact that he lost Pirates, that he lost Fantastic Beasts, that he really has had no acting gigs since then. She basically, like, moved on and just talked about the personal damage that was done to his family and to him and all of that, which is also, of course, important too. But she definitely missed out on that question about damages in terms of his career. And I thought that kind of was a bit of a large miss. So then we got to cross, and guys, cross wasn't super awesome. It kind of, you know, I mean, the whole point of cross is to impeach the witness and get them to show their bias and that they, you know, they aren't reliable. They aren't credible. Let's point out the flaws in their testimony. And, you know, the first thing that Amber Heard's attorney came at her with was, you know, don't you have a financial stake in this, considering you're employed by your brother? If he doesn't make money doing movies, you don't make money. And they tried to impeach her with her prior deposition testimony, saying, well, you said this, that didn't really work out. But I will say, as an attorney, she came across as either a not well prepared witness, meaning like not well prepared by Johnny's attorneys, or she just let her emotions get the best of her, because there were certain things that they were asking her that she should have just been like, yeah, that happened, you know, like be straight up. Don't try to. I'll tell you, they asked her about text messages that she had sent Johnny that were like, stop drinking, stop coke, stop pills. And she really tried to dance around what that really meant and how she couldn't say because it was out of context. You know, it's okay. Just admit it. Like, just say, yeah, I told him to stop drinking. What the fuck's wrong with telling your brother to stop drinking? It's not like it's a bad thing. So, you know, that kind of makes people look not as credible when they're pushing back like that. But again, like I said, I think most people would expect a family member that you're close with to already be somewhat biased to you. So I don't think it was like super shocking to the jury. But like I said, either way, I think she either wasn't super well prepared or, you know, the emotions of this trial and the damage that her brother has seen as a result of these allegations really is upsetting to her. And it honestly, based on her direct examination and her basically focusing on the damage to his family, it seems like it's very personal to her and it's very upsetting. And I do think that came across. But anyway, I just want to talk about one other thing, because aside from hearsay objections, there's a lot of objections to character evidence in this trial. And, you know, interestingly enough, normally character evidence. So let me give an example. When Johnny Depp's attorney during opening statements was like, no one's ever accused him in 50 years, so on and so forth. And that was objected to. Now, that was an objection, probably, although we don't know because we didn't hear, but I assume based on character evidence. And generally, that type of evidence isn't allowed in. But in a case for defamation, which largely relies on, or you at least need to know someone's reputation and character, in order, especially when it comes to something like being violent, there has to be some testimony about that, right? I mean, how else is anybody going to know? I mean, we need other people to back this up. We need evidence to back this up. So, you know, when something like this, and it's a defamation case, is what we're talking about, character evidence is going to be in a lot, is going to be allowed in way more than normal. And I think it is also very important to point out that, you know, Amber Heard brought those counterclaims in this case, and I don't think that did her any good, because number one, it doesn't make her, in terms of, I'm talking legal here, doesn't make her the victim. She is now a plaintiff as well. She's not a true, you know, a genuine defendant. She's not just defending herself. She now has to, you know, attack as well. So not only does it kind of like make you do two jobs, but it also brings in her character. And now people are allowed to come and say whatever, not whatever, but, you know, there's going to be a lot more testimony allowed about Amber's character. And to be fair, from what we've heard so far in this trial, it's not so good. And I don't think she's going to be too happy about what these people have to say. So, you know, it's just important to point these things out. And, you know, I really think that I know I'm biased, guys, but I truly think that was just a tit for tat thing. Like, she's like, oh, you're suing me for 50? I'm going to sue you for 100. And like, ultimately it fucking backfired. So, or, you know, we'll see if it backfires, but from a legal point, I don't think it was a good move. All right. So that's pretty much what we got for today. I wanted to try to keep it as short as I could with giving as much, you know, insight as I possibly could, but those are my thoughts on day one, guys. You know, remember, please follow the show on Twitter, LD Blonde with an E pod, and on Instagram at Legally Dirty Blonde Pod. And remember, until next time, Legally Dirty Blondes have more fun.